Scripture reading for it is Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. God knows well that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like the God, who know good and evil." Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. We have multiple visitors with us, and we're very thankful that you've had safe travels to be with us. Certainly, we want to extend the invitation. If you have any questions, please let us know. We certainly want to do everything in spirit and in truth and by the Bible, as certainly as best we can. So we are open to any questions that you have. The last few weeks we've been looking at, I've been trying to do one a month, looking at one sin in particular, just one a month, because there are things that the Bible tells us to do, and there are things that the Bible tells us not to do, and we try to consider those things. Certainly we as Christians, we don't want to sin, and in order to really fulfill that as best we possibly can, of course we know that we fall short, we're in this growing process, but we need to know what is defined as sin. What is okay, what is not okay. A few that we have looked at, covetousness. You know, covetousness is really a strong desire. A strong desire that becomes so strong that we're willing to compromise morality. Certainly, covetousness can happen with money. But we start to desire something so much that we're willing to compromise morality. It could be involved with a whole lot of things. In fact, covet is actually used in a positive sense sometimes throughout the Bible, because covet really is a strong desire. But when our desires become so strong that we're willing to compromise morality, that is sin. We should not covet. Have a strong desire to the point that we're willing to compromise morality. We also looked at the sin of being unmerciful. You understand that that makes the list of so many lists that we find in the Bible of things that are sin. It is a sin to be unmerciful. Last month we looked at the sin of lying. And today we'll be looking at the sin of deceit. You know that those are actually separated in the Bible. Lying and deceit are separated in the Bible. And to appropriately understand deceit, I think we have to understand withholding information. See, withholding information is an action we can do in life, and I'm going to propose to you that there are times in this life where we can withhold information, and it is righteous and just to do so. This is different from lying. I cannot find in the Scriptures where God says it is okay to lie, but I can find in the Scriptures where God says we can withhold information. The question is, the action of withholding information, sometimes it can be good, sometimes it is bad. I'm not trying to teach situational ethics. Deceit is when we withhold information with sinful intent. We withhold information with sinful intent. That is deceit. And I think it's important that we understand the differences between these things, because we are communicating with individuals all the time. I don't think as Christian people, God says that we should knowingly add false information to any conversation. I don't think God gives a thumb up to that at any point. Sometimes individuals bring up Rahab who hid the slaves, but I don't think he was justified in that law. When we look in the New Testament, what was justified was Rahab's faith. Her faith was justified, and we could really dig into that, but I think that Rahab lied, and I think we can find other lies in Scripture. Just because something ends up for good does not mean the action is justified. I think of Joseph. You remember Joseph was sold by his brothers to Egypt. Joseph was sold by his brothers to Egypt, and when his brothers get there to Egypt, he says, "I know that you meant this for evil, but God worked it out for good." Well, because God worked something bad out for good, does that mean that the brothers are justified in their action? Oh yeah, it's good to sell your brother into slavery. It's good to lie to your father and deceive your father. No. These actions were not justified. Just because God can work things out for good from bad actions does not mean that those actions are justified. When we're talking about withholding information, I think it is different from lying, because withholding information can be good or bad. When it becomes deceit is when we hold something back with sinful intent. And I think we can prove this from the Holy Scripture. But I think we need to try to understand as best we can that difference between lying and deceit. These are listed distinctly different in the Scriptures. You can read some of these lists, and some of these, you will find that God says, you shall not lie, or you should not lie, or lying is a sin. We see that throughout Scriptures, but we also see the idea of deceit. And I think deceit is when we hold back information with sinful intent, or to cover up sin. Think of it this way. As we communicate with individuals, God is restricting our tongue. There are things that we can say. There are things that God says you shouldn't say those things. But when it comes with our communication with other individuals, a Christian should not knowingly add false information to any conversation. I don't think you can find that in the Scriptures. And I think that is the definition of lying, is knowingly adding false information to a conversation. Now, deceit is actually the subtraction game. Deceit is a subtraction game. Deceit is when we hold things back from the conversation with sinful intent. I think that's what deceit is. Deceit is holding back information that if the individuals on the other side had that information, they would probably make a different decision. There is a difference between lying and deception. I think lying is a game of addition. If I'm going to add things to the conversation knowingly that are false to try to get my way or whatever I'm trying to manipulate at the time. Make myself look better, harm others, get the better end of the deal. Knowingly adding false information is a lie. But you can also fall into deceit if you hold back information with sinful intent. Deceit is a subtraction game. When we knowingly hold information back with sinful intent, I don't think God's okay with that. I don't think God's okay with lying. He is not okay with deceit. And I think it's interesting that these are listed separately throughout the Bible. And I think we have to think very carefully about our speech. We have to think about how we're communicating with others. If we have a reputation of somebody that is a liar, that knowingly adds false information to conversations, or with somebody who's only holding information back that could actually help another, or to try to manipulate a situation in terms of evil intent to cover up sin, I don't think that helps the cause of the gospel one bit. It does not help the gospel one bit if we get engaged in lying or deceit, which I believe are sin. You know, I saw a debate with an atheist one time, and the atheist actually said this in the debate. He says, I would be willing to add false information, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I'd be willing to add false information to the conversation in order to lead people over to my way of thinking because I think my way of thinking is best. See, as Christians, we can't do that. We are never supposed to throw knowingly false information, and we're not supposed to hold back information with sinful intent or to cover things up. Let's look at some examples of deceit in the Bible that perhaps might help us to better understand what we're talking about holding back information with sinful intent to cover up sin. Some examples that we can look at, number one, is the garden that was read for us by Sharon. In chapter 3, I think if you keep your eyes open, you might actually find lying and deceit from the devil. Is that the devil, I think, plays the addition game, but he also plays the subtraction game. And usually when people get involved in deceiving and getting involved in leading people away, they are okay with lying and they're okay with deceit. They're okay with both. Now sometimes individuals think they're a little more sneaky when they keep things out of the conversation, but if you keep things out of the conversation with sinful intent or to cover up sin, that is sin. But in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. You know, when you break that down, if you look at verse 4, I think verse 4 is a lie. that Satan is adding something false to conversation. He says, you will not surely die. That is a lie. He is adding something there that should not be there. But when you look at verse 5, it says, for God knows in that day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Is there a little bit of truth in that? When Adam and Eve eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, are they going to be more like God? Yes, they are. See, I think God, we could consider what we see in verse 5 is actually a half-truth. And sometimes individuals say, you know, half-truths are lies. I think kind of based off these definitions that we're working on today is that really half-truths are kind of deceit. Because really what you're doing with a half-truth is you're calling out truth, but you're holding back information that you know if that individual had, they would come to a different conclusion. You know, when you deceive, this is sometimes things that people will say, well, if I would have known that, you know, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have purchased that car. You know, and I know things happen to a car, but if you were selling a car, you might not have knowingly added something false to the conversation, but you could have held back that you've had trouble with this particular part of the vehicle for years. Well, if I would have known that, you know, I think Adam and Eve probably had that in the garden, don't you? Well, Satan, you said I was going to be like God. You kind of left out that I was going to know good and evil and that the punishment of sin would come down on us and, you know, all of these things, the wages of sin is death, all of these things. If we would have known that, they should have listened to God. But I'm trying to make a distinction here that lying is adding falsehood to the conversation, but deceit is really when we hold back. And when we hold back with sinful intent or to cover up sin, we really are walking a very thin line that we need to be careful. But I think when we look at Satan, he's using both. Satan is lying, but also he's using deceit. He's playing the addition game, he's playing the subtraction game, he's doing everything that he can to try to lead these individuals into sin. You know, what happened to treat others the way that you'd like to be treated? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I think that would serve us well when we think about withholding information. Treat others the way that you would want to be treated. Another example of deceit I think we can find in Genesis chapter 27. In Genesis chapter 27, we have there Jacob's deception. And we remember that Jacob had a brother Esau. And in this case, we have Isaac, and Isaac is asked for a meal from Esau, and Esau goes out to hunt and to get that game. And Mom hears this, and Mom works with Jacob, and they do all number of things in this situation. Is they send Jacob into Dad, and they put some hair on his arms, and they've got all kinds of stuff going on. They make a meal, and they take it there. When you look at Genesis chapter 27, I think you will find deceit, and you will find lying. Because I think you'll find situations where he actually flat out asks him. He says, are you my son? And you know what he says? He says, are you Esau? And he says, yes, I am, basically. So that is knowingly adding false information. He lied. But then there's some times where he actually was withholding information. He didn't tell him what the hair on his arms was. He didn't really tell him what the food was. See, it's a mixture. See, sometimes when people get engaged in lying, they also get involved in deceit. Because you've already went down the road, a lot of times people will start with deceit and then it'll end up becoming a lie. That's a lot of times how it manifests. If you try to hold it back, and then you start adding to try to cover up what you're withholding. But sometimes it can work the other way. But lying and deceit, they go hand in hand. When people get involved in lying and knowingly adding false information, a lot of times they'll hold information back that should not be held back. So we see with Jacob, he did a little bit of both. I think he lied to his dad, and I think he also deceived his dad. He held back information. He didn't tell him what this fur was on his arms and all these things that are going on. In Genesis chapter 37, which we'll turn over to that one. Genesis chapter 37, we remember, in this case, in Genesis 37, we have Joseph. And I think these brothers, although when we break it down, I think you can argue that there's a lie there. But these sons in chapter 37, verses 31 and following, I think these sons think they're pulling one over on their dad. I think they might even be able to say, you know what, we didn't lie to dad. I think they were involved in a little bit of lying, but also deceit. When you look in Genesis chapter 37, verses 31 and following, it says they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goat, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found it. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Now, I would say lying is knowingly adding false information. So you could say that these brothers who have sold their brother into Egypt, they're trying to cover this up. You could argue that they're lying by taking this tunic and adding this false information. That's lying. But really, most of what goes on in chapter 37 is deceit, because they don't tell Dad a word. They add some false information, and then they hold all of the information back in which their dad can draw the appropriate conclusion. There's a lot of deceit in chapter 37. And you know what? I think these boys think that they're so smart. I think that them talking among themselves, they might even say this: "We didn't lie to Dad." They might even say that. They think they're so smooth. "We didn't lie to Dad. When Dad asked questions, we just didn't say anything. We didn't lie, but you were deceitful." Now, I would argue that when they actually take the jacket and they put blood on it, the tunic, that is actually knowingly adding false information to the conversation. I think they lied, but really, a lot of what they're doing is deceit here. They're not telling Dad anything. They're withholding information with sinful intent, and that is sin. They are holding back information to cover up sin. That is sin. Just because something doesn't come out of your mouth doesn't mean you're not sinning. Sometimes the things you hold back are sin. Sometimes things that go on in our mind are sin. And we as Christians have to acknowledge what is sin and what is not sin, so we can look at ourselves and we can try to figure out what is sin and what's not sin, so we can try to serve the Lord better. But these boys were more involved in deceit than they were lying, although there was a lie there. But these things go hand in hand. But I think there are some people in our world that think that they can withhold information and think that they're not sinning. If you're withholding information with sinful intent or to cover up or to take advantage, that is sin. Take advantage in a sinful way. You know one of the best tools against deceit is? It's questions. And I'm not trying to fault Dad here. I understand that he was very emotional. His sons are holding back so much information, you know, in this situation. I can see why he comes to the conclusion he does. But I can tell you some questions are very powerful when it comes to deceit. "Where's the body, boy?" "Where's the body?" "You got the garment, you got the tunic, but you don't have the body." Questions are one of the best tools of deceit. And I'm not trying to say, I understand he's emotional, he's going through this, but you don't want to be deceived. I can tell you, ask some questions, because they'll only be able to withhold the information so long, and then what happens, they're going to have to lie, or they're just going to have to say, "I'm not going to tell you." And I think that Christians have to think about that, is we have to think about our speech and how we're conducting ourselves and understanding where these lines are. When you withhold information with sinful intent to cover up something, you are sinning. You don't actually have to say anything. Have you ever thought about that? You can sin without saying a word. Questions are a great tool against deceit. And I think in the religious world, we have all kinds of people that are saying all kinds of things, and what I have found is that there are some individuals that are preachers and teachers, and they're not open to questions, and they don't want you questioning them. They don't want any questions to be asked. Maybe it's because they have something to hide. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "Test all things, hold fast that which is good." We should be people of questions, as long as we're going to the source of the Bible. Now, I want you to think about this, is withholding information is an action. When we withhold information with sinful intent to cover something up, I think that is sin. But I think that there are times, and I don't think we talk about this a lot, and perhaps it's because the nation in which we live and so many beautiful and wonderful rights that we have in this country, But if we start looking at Christians in some hard situations, and we look at different things that we see throughout the Bible, there is a time that a Christian can withhold information and then not be deceived. Deceit is when we withhold information with sinful intent. But we can withhold information without sinful intent, and that's okay. And I think we should consider that at least a little bit this morning. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." But then it goes on. It says, "Those that partake of that solid food have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil." See, people are not going to like this idea that I can withhold information and sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not okay. You know what you need to do? You need to make a judgment call. You need to determine between good and evil. And this is not much more different than other sins and other activities, right? Withholding information is an action. It's an action that can become sinful. It's an action that can be acceptable. Same thing with sexual intimacy. Sexual intimacy is an action. Guess what? It is totally okay in marriage. But you take that same action, and you take it outside of marriage, before marriage, and we can number off all kinds of other things that are considered sexual misconduct in the Bible. Same-sex relationships with animals. These are things the Bible says, this is sexual misconduct. You can take the action of sexual intimacy and you say, okay, is it sinful or not? It depends on where it's at. If it's in marriage, totally acceptable. But if it's outside of marriage, it's not acceptable. Withholding information is an action. Have you thought about the information that you withhold? I believe that the Bible teaches that there are situations where a Christian can withhold information, and if we do not have sinful intent, we are not trying to cover up sin, we're not trying to take advantage of somebody in this particular situation in a sinful way. But think about this, the Bible tells us God cannot lie. In fact, in 1 Peter, it talks about, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, it says, "There is no deceit found in Jesus' mouth." So Jesus did not lie, and Jesus did not hold back information with sinful intent. Now here's the question, did Jesus ever hold back information? Yes, he did. Did Jesus hold back information? Yes, he did. Did God hold back information? Yes, he did. But they never did it with sinful intent. They never did it to cover up sin or take advantage of someone in a sinful way. We think of John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Jesus meets a woman at the well. And he starts asking her about her personal life. You think that Jesus knew everything about this lady's personal life? You think he knew how many she was married to? That's the conversation that transpires. A conversation about her marriage relationship. You think Jesus already knew that she had multiple husbands? I think Jesus did. So we can actually look throughout Scripture, and if you really stop to think about it, there are plenty of examples that we can find where we have God withholding information. I think of John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Did Jesus withhold information? Yes, Jesus did withhold information. But he did not ever withhold information with sinful intent. He did never withhold information to cover up sin or to take advantage of someone in a sinful way, but Jesus did withhold information. Withholding information is an action. What we do when we withhold information makes it sinful or makes it okay? I think God withheld information. God never lied, and God never deceived. Well, when you deceive, when you hold back information that should not be held back because of the sinful backing behind it. But God withheld information. There's a very interesting circumstance that happens in 1 Samuel chapter 16. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, I actually think we have God telling someone that they should withhold information. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, you have a situation there where we have Samuel. And Saul, the king at the time, has disobeyed God. And God has told Saul in chapter 15, he has told him, you're not going to be king. Your lineage is not going to continue as king, rather. Because he's made some mistakes. And Saul makes multiple mistakes in his life. So you go right from chapter 15 where Saul makes a mistake and God says, you know what? You have disobeyed. The lineage is not going to continue. And now we need a new king. We need a new future king. And in chapter 16 of Samuel, God says, Samuel, I need you to go and anoint the next king. And you know what Samuel says in those first few verses? He says, if Saul finds out about this, he's going to kill me. Which I think Samuel and Saul were actually pretty close. I think it broke Samuel's heart when he saw Saul disobeying God. So Samuel, he's got some emotions going on, and he says, you're asking me to anoint the next king. If Saul finds out about this, he's going to kill me. And you can read this. And God says, basically, don't tell him. You go say you're going to go make a sacrifice. And when you go and make this sacrifice, you invite Jesse, which is David's dad, you invite Jesse's dad to this sacrifice, and there you anoint king. I think Samuel withheld information. I don't think he had sinful intent. Certainly he was obeying God. There are certainly places where we need to hold our tongue. Did Samuel lie? I don't think he lied. Did he hold information back? Yes, he did. Did he hold information back with sinful intent? I know this is hard, but I can tell you, as Christians, we've got to develop ourselves to the meat of the word. We have to be able to distinguish between good and evil. Just like in a sexual intimacy situation, we should be able to say, this is sin, this is not sin. The same thing should transpire when we're dealing with some of these situations in our lives, is we have to figure out, am I sinning if I get involved in this activity? I don't think Samuel was involved in sin. Not that day. You say, Kyle, this is a little bit of a thin line. I'm trying to preach what the Bible, I believe, teaches. I don't think Christians should add knowingly any false information in conversation. There are situations where we can hold back information. But if you hold back information with a sinful motive, you are sinning. You are sinning. And I don't think Samuel here is sinning here. You know, there's a passage in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. It says this. It says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, serpents is almost always used in the negative throughout Scripture. You ever thought about that? But it says there, it says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to be wise. We have to be wise. And I know we don't talk about this a lot in our country, but we have to be wise. I can give you all kinds of situations in the Bible where Christians, and also individuals that followed God in the Old Testament withheld information because it was the right thing to do. Have you ever thought about that? Are we wise as serpents? We're not liars, no. But there are certain situations where we need to say, can I withhold information? Usually this is an easy one that people will accept. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, Joshua is attacking Ai. He's attacking Ai, and this is a kind of second go-around here. And he sends out some of his troops to hide behind the city. And he says, tomorrow I'm going to attack the city, and then I'm going to retreat. And he says, when I retreat, they're going to follow me probably. And then you guys come from behind, and you take the city. We say, well, this is military tactics. Joshua withheld information. And you know what? How silly it would be if he advertised this, you know? Hey, everybody, we're retreating, so those people behind you can come into the city, you know? There are some times, I think, that we can withhold information and we don't have sinful intent. You know, Sam Walton over Walmart, a lot of times he would, people that he was looking at to move up in administration or he wanted to hire, a lot of times he would invite them out for a meal. And what he would do is he would watch their behavior. He'd watch how they conducted themselves with the server, whoever was serving them, and he would just watch them. He said he handled those meetings almost as a job interview. And there's actually a few things that he shared where he saw people do things, and he said, I would not hire that person. He said, if you're willing to cheat here, if you're willing to treat somebody this way, he said, I don't want you around them. He withheld information when he had those meetings. I think we can withhold information from time to time. In fact, in Proverbs, it's associated with the wise. In Proverbs chapter 27, 17, in Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28, it says, he who has knowledge spares his words. What does that mean? It means you hold back sometimes. He who has knowledge spares words. As a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perspective. You know something associated with being wise? Withholding some information. We don't have to be an open book and tell everyone everything that's going on. Now, if we hold things back with sinful intent or to cover up sin or for sinful gain, certainly that would be sin. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible says this. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. What's the Bible saying? Sometimes you don't have to say everything. Sometimes you don't have to say everything. And when we apply this to the real world, we understand that this is acceptable for Christians. We have Christians that are police officers. Do police officers sometimes have to hold back information? Not with sinful intent, but do they have to hold back some information, confidentiality? I think about our teachers. We've got a lot of teachers here at Sandyville. Are there some things that you learn on the job that you are not allowed to share with the community? Do we have some brothers and sisters in class that work for the government? That works for the government, and information is shared with them that they're not supposed to share. It is not a sin to withhold. It is a sin to withhold when we have sinful intent. Sinful intent. And we could just really explore all kinds of examples in the Bible. And in chapter 5 and verse 13, see Anna, he's a farmer who comes from the south and north. He's preaching. The society is going down, and it is going down fast. And in Anna, chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, the prudent keep silent at this time. What's that mean? It means the times are so bad. The times are so bad, they're going after the good people. They're going after the people that are trying to follow God. Sometimes better to keep your mouth shut. Doesn't mean we don't live the Christian life. Doesn't mean that we don't try to serve the Lord. But there are some times where withholding information is not the worst thing. And I think we can see that as we look through life. I'm not trying to make it hard on you. When we withhold information, we better be sure we don't have sinful intent. Because if we have sinful intent, it is sin. It doesn't matter if any words come out of your mouth or not. Lying, deceit, these are problems. You know, I think about Peter. Remember Acts chapter 5? We've got a couple individuals that have lied in the New Testament church. These individuals have lied about their, what they sold, and they said they gave it all, which they didn't really give it all, and they lied about it. When they walked in to talk to Peter, you think Peter knew what was going on? You think he knew they lied? And he says, hey, husband, did you lie? He said, no, basically. No, I didn't lie. He was struck dead. Then the wife comes in. Hey, did you, what's the deal with your land, you know? Basically, did you lie? Wait, Peter withheld information. Yes, he did. You know, we should be thankful that people withhold information. You think the elders have told me everything? I don't think they have sinful intent, but do they elders tell me everything? Everything that's said about Kyle, everything that's said here and there, you think the elders withheld hold some stuff? That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly acceptable. You think I, as a preacher, have some conversations with people in private? Things that don't need to be broadcasted all over the place that are private conversations? Can we withhold that? Yeah, there's some things that can be withheld, but we cannot have sinful intent. Makes you think. In Acts chapter 9, Paul has become a New Testament Christian, and the people in the city want to kill Paul. And you know what they do in Acts chapter 9? They lower him outside the wall with a basket. Were those people wrong for doing that? You think those Christians, as they were, lowering him outside the city, you think they had some issue of conscience and saying, you know what, I feel bad that we're not telling the authorities that we're lowering Paul right now to save his life. You think they had some issue of conscience? Yes, we're to obey the government. But we have not been in these situations for a long time. I think we would be well served to study the Bible and see how Christians handle themselves under duress. In 1 Kings 18, there's a man named Obadiah. And Jezebel is the ruler at the time, and she is massacring all the prophets. That's the wording in the Bible. She is massacring all the prophets. You know what Obadiah does? He hides 400 prophets in the cave, and he gives them bread, and he gives them water. You start thinking of these situations, Paul being lowered outside the wall. You start thinking about Obadiah hiding 400 prophets. There's a difference between lying and withholding information. And when we withhold information with sinful intent, that is a sin. But there are times where we as Christians, I think, need to use withholding information. Just how I don't like that. I think it's a Bible idea. So why sometimes hold back? You're a policeman, teacher, government official, there's some time we can hold back. This has some implications for us. We have to think very carefully about the way we communicate with our fellow man. I don't think that there is a time where we are supposed to add false information to conversation. That's lying. When we withhold information, we have to be very careful that we do not have sinful intent. Because if we have sinful intent, if we're trying to cover up sin, if we're doing this for sinful gain, I believe it's sin. And you don't have to say a word. What we need to think about when it comes to deceit is sin. Withholding information, it can develop into deceit. Withholding information can be fine based off the situation. But are we wise without deceiving people? That's the question. Are we wise without deceiving people? You know, I even think about the Back to Bible study. You know, you remember book 3? You get to book 3 and ask the individual how they were saved, and you don't say a word. You just let them put down on the paper what they did to be saved. They might say they had a religious experience. They might have said that they put their hand on the radio. They might have said this or that. They can write down whatever they want. They can write down whatever they want. You know what we're really doing that for? It's so that in the next few pages, you can compare what they said to what the Bible says. And they can have an honest moment between them and the Bible. This is what I said I did to be saved. This is what the Bible says. I have to ask myself honestly, have I done what the Bible has asked to become a New Testament Christian and to have my sins washed away? Withholding information, it's not an easy topic. You can withhold information, but it can develop into deceit. And when it develops into deceit, that is sin. And we do not want to be involved in that. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. You know, when it comes to salvation, people might not like to hear this, but there's a lot of lies going around, and there's a lot of deception. Sometimes people hold back verses from you that you need to read. That they won't let you read them, they don't want you to read them, because they know the conclusion that you come to. When we see that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again, he sent all of his followers to Jerusalem so that they could hear remission of sins preached there first. And Peter preaches that message in Acts chapter 2, and I don't want to deceive you or lie to you. You can read Acts chapter 2, and you can see what Peter says for them to do to respond to the gospel call. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can to become as we stand and as we think.